Welcome to the Relay Bitcoin session, Mir. Thank you very much for taking the time. I will actually let you introduce yourself because I don't. It's too much. It's too much. I read all the information that you sent us.
And it's a giant mess, and I really love being this giant mess and being around this mess, which is my life. And also, I will start with saying that I love the idea that in some ways I manage to keep my information confused, I would say, not obfuscated, because that one would be the end goal. But when I started with Bitcoin, I was so early, so I didn't manage to keep myself anonymous or pseudonymous. But at least there is some sort of confusion, which is my life, but it's also a sort of strategy, because it's not easy to find all the things I have done and I'm currently do. But I would say
not to be a bug, right?
But I mean, I'm not pretending to say it's impossible to find information, but it will take a little bit of time and work. So that's cool. So basically,
what different projects are you involved now, or have you been involved?
So I would say that probably the most important one has been the blockchain lab in Milan, along with Giacomo. We co-founded in 2013, I guess, or something like that. And then it became a BHB network because we wanted to make it more international. So we started with this idea of, I mean, it started with a reality. We had some of the most important Bitcoin devs in Milan, in our city. It was just a random thing that turned out to be very positive. And we started from there building a research lab that was trying to manage the asymmetry between the knowledge, between the experts, because many people are now into Bitcoin and they found a lot of resources, a lot of books, a lot of reports even. But when we started, there was basically nothing. You wanted to get information directly from Bitcoin Talk or Reddit or directly from the people developing stuff. So we invited the people and we get information, we get a knowledge, and then we kind of do the boring stuff, just like creating reports or things for our clients that were basically banks. They wanted to know about Bitcoin. They wanted to know about the development. I wanted to know that about if they are going to develop some proof of concepts, but they didn't have access to that knowledge. So we were the proxy in this part. And also one thing I was involved with, and still I am, it's the Bitcoin Milan meetup, and I'm very proud of that, because we held the 50 meetups in presence, more than 50 actually. Wow. And very high quality meetups because of our guests. And we started again in presence in 2020, but of course, because of the pandemic, we had to stop. Then we held some meetups online, and now we are kind of stopped, because I really like the idea of having physical meetups. I really love the idea of, and also every meetup has been completely free. And that was possible because we had some sponsor, and also because we managed to do this in physical, in a physical bar, or in a place that we're getting a lot of drinks from people getting from the for the meetup. So it was a win-win, and I want to keep it like that. So right now it's kind of stopped, but I love to study it again. So we are doing something on Clubhouse or other online platform. But I have to say that at Bitcoin Milan Meetup, the community has been huge and amazing, very, very active, very, very techie oriented. And so I can't wait to start again. So at the moment, I'm basically doing this. I'm tweeting a lot.
For people who don't know you, what's your Twitter handle? Where you
can find you? At @mir_BTC.
All right.
It's not that difficult. It's just like BTC is my new surname. Mir is my actual name, but BTC is my new surname. So you can call me like that. Also, the last project I'm involved with is the Satoshi Show. I love to call it Satoshi show, just like the Italian pronunciation for that, the all-female Bitcoin only show that we started along with Lina Saike and Molly Spears. We have just recorded the 6th episode, but only 3 are online at the moment. It is a very nice and pleasant experiment to try to talk about Bitcoin, being maximalist and being female at the same time, open to everyone, no discrimination, no gender stuff, but we are only 3 girls that we love Bitcoin and love to chat with each other about those topics.
Awesome, that sounds amazing. So many things I want to know on top of that. So let's start with the last one. Why do you think there's there are obviously there are reasons that are understandable probably why not more females are into Bitcoin. But what's your take? Why are not many women into Bitcoin, working for it or interested in it? For example, with Relay, we have like 15% of women using us.
That's cool. That's cool, actually.
It's cool.
That's not that bad.
It's not that bad. It should be more. So like, we don't have many Bitcoin users who are female. We don't have many working. Yes. Only one or two. We now have recruited the second lady, fortunately, to our team. But like from 12 or 13 people, there are 2 ladies only. Like, this is a pity. So why are not many more women into Bitcoin?
I think that we have a little bit to zoom out. If we zoom out, when I started, I was the only woman in our meetup. And yes, I recently came up with some picture and I was actually the only one between 20, 30 people. The point is that it's very easy because in some ways just mathematical. When there are, Bitcoin is at the intersection of many male-dominated fields. I'm not telling this in a bad way, but it's just just like the reality, finance and computer science and cryptography, and whatever they are all male dominated. And so if you do the intersection between them, of course you are going to have a very subset, very small subset of all these domains. The point is that we have to distinguish probably between 2 things. The first one is it really depends on the level. With jobs, there are plenty of ladies and women that are joining the space, and also since the beginning, because of course there are plenty of positions that are interesting for women too. And at the same time, we don't have the right percentage of Bitcoiners, because and I'm really happy to say that there's plenty of accounts that are upset anonymous, so we don't know. And actually, I know for 2 or 3, there are some girls behind that. So in the Bitcoin protocol, we are just nodes, and we have to consider that we don't care because we are just nodes. And if you think about that, the ratio is already okay. The people that are voluntary in joining the Bitcoin protocol, they are the people right now that they want to join the protocol. So hopefully in the future, the ratio will be more just like representative of the, the world, so 50-50. But I don't feel that there's any need to rush it. But at the same time, I think that probably trying to talk in a different way, I think to understand Bitcoin, everybody has a different entry point, and to understand and start to ruminate all the contents. So probably sometime, if you have a female perspective, which could be in the way somebody communicates or in the way somebody just explaining you the whys, the personal whys behind Bitcoin, maybe you can get a little bit more interested. But of course, it's your personal journey into Bitcoin. So I think that that could be an interesting experiment, Satoshi, because we are giving our perspective. Okay, that could be different from other perspective, could be more in line with other women. But at the same time, we don't want to be focused on any topics, just like gender topic at all. We are interested in Bitcoin. So we are talking about Bitcoin. We are talking about ourselves. We are talking about the words. So yeah.
Right. Yeah, because I totally agree. I think there would be, or I'm asking you, but I think there would be a benefit to having more women into Bitcoin, just because as it is, if you have more women into teams, you know, collaborations, yeah, working, but diversity is just, it's a buzzword, but like it's really working better if you have female and male perspective, because as you said before, they are different, you know, the left and right brains and stuff like that. It just works, you know, you have different inputs from women.
Yeah,
it makes this.
I completely agree. But at the same time, so when you try to force stuff, you end up at the opposite of what you want, at the opposite of your goal, because sometimes you're pushing too much this narrative, you're going to have, the opposite result. So for me, it's very important that something like that should come very organically, very naturally, and we can do our part. So we are doing our part very, in a very, I would say, in our way. In our way. So in the meantime, we have fun.
You feel like, as we are talking about Bitcoin in this Satoshi group with only women, but if you compare it to, if we talk Bitcoin in these meetups that are more male dominated, do you have different discussions? Like, what are the differences?
I would say that the difference is the kind of type of communication. I think that in some way there are some vibe in that I really like in a meetup. Everything is more, I would say, organized, as more probably sometimes more argumentative, less going with the flow. But it, of course, it really depends. More structured in some way. Mm-hmm. When we are talking at Satoshi, we have a sort of structure, but we go more with the flow. And I think that many things are just emerging from ourselves, sharing and discussing in that moment. So I think it's a matter more of type of communication. And in some way, sometimes our way to relate a topic with our experience, I think that usually women tend to personalize more and to talk more, a little bit more about themselves. It's just a generalization. It really depends. But I think that it could be, for someone, that could be a turn off, but for somebody could be very interesting, because for example, we did an episode yesterday, we recorded it, and our guest talked about her experience in getting Bitcoin, and her history is she refused Bitcoin so many times because she couldn't get it, and at some point something clicked and then she started being a Bitcoiner completely and fully. So through her path, through her journey, many people can recognize and they can say, oh my God, this is exactly what happened to me. And they can maybe try to understand why people around you don't get Bitcoin. Maybe they will get Orange Pill at their time, or probably just personal experience. And it's something very important for many people. It's just like that, it just click for them too. So
yeah, I mean, there's almost no story you hear about people, all these stories about people coming into Bitcoin, so almost no story where it clicked at the first moment, you know. It's the same for me, same probably for you. I don't know your story, but like for many people, it didn't click right at the beginning. They had 1, 2, 3, 10 attempts.
Yeah, sometimes. Usually it's like that. Yeah. I've been kind of lucky, or in some way my history is a little bit different, because I clearly remember the first time Giacomo told me about Bitcoin, and I wouldn't say that I completely understood Bitcoin, but Of course, Giacomo is great in explaining stuff. So I was lucky enough to have him. And I clearly remember because I told him, oh my God, this is perfect for you. You should quit your job and doing this because it's the intersection between your interests. It's between technology and politics and human rights. And you should do something like that. Quit your job. And I was doing my PhD at the time. So I was like, okay, I was just continue to do my stuff. He's going to do this stuff. And then after probably 1-2 years, I met him in New York for the Consensus Conference. And I was there for my PhD, so doing some research, but I joined some social parts of the event. And I was completely in love and shocked by Bitcoin and was like, oh my God, this is more than I thought. This is history in the making and I want to be part of it. So I quit. I also quit my job and what I was doing. But it took me twice, just like the majority of the story about Bitcoin. But I was lucky enough to understand how Bitcoin was important and I was revolutionary the first time because of Giacomo. I clearly remember that, yeah.
Yeah, Giacomo can be very convincing.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah.
So do you think in the end, I mean, there are people who get it right away, there are people who need 1, 2, 3 attempts, but there are also a lot of critics, obviously, who maybe don't want to really know about it, or they just hate it from the beginning because they have vested interest or whatever the reason is. Do you think in the end, like in 10, 20, 30, 50 years, everybody will be convinced, like with the internet, like with the or like with the automobile? So in the end, all these technologies had critics at the beginning, but in the end, they basically convinced 99.9% of people. Do you think it will be the same?
I would say that probably the reason why people don't want to get Bitcoin, it's because it's super painful. There are plenty of barriers, the technological barriers, our personal beliefs on society and ourselves. So it's a painful process. So we don't want to change our mind. And so the majority of people are not going to get Bitcoin at this point, but they are going to use Bitcoin. They are going to forget that they have been critics of Bitcoin. They are going to use Bitcoin just like any other technology probably. But it's very interesting because I think that the strongest and most vocal Bitcoiners will stay the same, won't be that many in the end, but hyper-Bitcoinization is going to happen. And I'm not such a giant fan in a way, but of course it's going to happen and people are going to use Bitcoin just anything else, just like the internet or whatever, and they are not going to know what's behind, and that's cool. That's cool because the majority of people that don't want to know about the details about the technology, or and probably the hyper-Bitcoinization is going to happen with people not using directly Bitcoin, just like pure no KYC Bitcoins. So I think so. Yeah, it's inevitable. Yeah.
So what it takes, in your opinion, then it would be just some sort of education, but not education about like how it works technically or stuff like that. Just really basic education, why it makes sense to use Bitcoin.
Have to say, I'm just a fan of education. I'm trying to educate and inform people all the time, but I'm slowly changing my mind, I would say, because at this point it started to be a little bit I wouldn't say ineffective, but I would say that there are plenty of information out there, still a mess, but if you're not that interested, we are going to reach a very small percentage at this point. So probably the most effective thing will be just Bitcoin working, just the technology. And people were going to use Bitcoin and start to use Bitcoin because, I mean, one giant step will be user-friendly interfaces and tools to make Bitcoin very, very, very usable for anyone. So I will continue to do education, even if I'm a little bit skeptic at this point, or probably I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to be more positive in some years. I don't know, in some weeks. But at the same time, I think that Bitcoin is so powerful, so strong that it will win. It will win.
Well, I think this education topic is interesting because it depends. You can't really educate everybody. It's a matter of timing as well in the personal lives of people, or like in the personal situation of people. There are people who are just not open to it. And if you're not open to it, then you can't, you shouldn't even start educating, because they will basically refuse all the information you give them. So you basically should probably, as an educator, or also for us, for example, trying to do a lot of, you know, content about it and stuff, we should focus more on the people who are interested. And then if you are open to it, if you're interested for whatever reasons, just because you like the number go up technology, or because the monetary reasoning behind it and stuff, but then these guys are open, we should focus on them, right?
I think that many people believe that there is a secret formula to educate, create Bitcoin content, but the reality is it's just like a hive situation where all the content creators are creating contents, they are creating also events, they are creating occasion to spread the word, and they are not going to be that effective, but cumulatively speaking, probably the effect will be the same, very impactful. So they are going to reach the person and probably the people. And probably sometimes we don't have to look for the quantity, but we have to look to the quality of the people joining the space and being truly advocate and truly, because I was discussing the other day about the fact that, for example, one great way, in my opinion, to educate, starting with your local community in your own language, because you're closing yourself from a broader audience, but at the same time, you're going to be more impactful on the people you are reaching, because you are talking in their language. So you are removing a barrier, and many people still don't understand English that much to get all the wonderful contents there are around for Bitcoin. So if you're going to translate, if you're going to create content in your own language, you are going to do something super important for your community, especially for the old people, and especially for someone just starting. So I think that could be one of the most important things to do, just start educating in your local community, in your own language, if you are not English native speakers, because of course there are plenty of great contents, too many at this point, too many. I don't have enough time to watch and to stay updated with all the great contents that are in English.
Right, and it's a very interesting thing you're mentioning. That's totally true. Like, it's if Bitcoin wants to be broadly accepted and successful, it needs to kind of get this network effect. It needs to become viral. Yeah. It needs to be a viral development. And funny enough, how do viruses spread? They don't spread like global. They're not global from the beginning. They spread in the local communities, right? They start infecting one person, and then another, and then this person infects the whole all the friends and all its social environment. And that's how it spreads, right?
Very funnily, one of the most effective way of marketing is still word of mouth. Even with the digital, in the digital world we are living today, so it's still pretty effective.
Absolutely, that's how, you know, also digital, also apps like we are. That's how they spread. For example, Revolut, this fintech, huge fintech company now. They almost did no marketing in the first couple of years. They are now valued at, I think, 30 billion or something. They just started in 2015, so like 6-7 years ago. 6 years ago, actually, it's crazy. And now there's this huge company almost without any marketing. They just focused on word of mouth a lot.
Absolutely.
The program they have, they incentivize people to talk about it. And still to this day, you know, if you're traveling, for example, and you're talking about banking or finance, if you're not a Bitcoiner, then what you would refer is Revolut. And so I think that's the word of mouth is very important. We also see this in our, like 70-80% of our growth so far was because of the referral program.
Because trust is so important. So, and of course, Web of Trust is one of the most interesting thing that we are still trying to understand. But of course, if you look at Bitcoin Twitter, for example, there is a Web of Trust, a living Web of Trust that you can watch and look at. You see people recommending stuff, and since you trust them, they're trusting other people. Of course, you always want to don't trust and verify, but sometimes you can get interested in something just because a person you trust promote or talk about some tools, about some products or whatever, then you are going to trust by yourself. That's the magic and that's the beauty, like, but
yeah, exactly. It's like if Giacomo Succo, someone who is into the Bitcoin space for a long time, then you basically, if he evaluates something like a service as we are, or like some community or some event, some conference, whatever, if he says, okay, this is a good thing, and he posts about this on Twitter, then all of these people don't have to do their due diligence anymore. At least, as I said, verify is always a good idea, but they don't really have to go through checking out who is behind this and does this make sense and stuff, because they just, the trust is just a shortcut. If you don't
And this is why reputation is so important. I was thinking the other day that I would probably some kind of rich if I accepted everything they proposed me about shit coins or things like that. I tried to make some calculation, and I was like, oh my God, I would probably be way more richer than I am at the moment. Yeah, I think the reputation is way more important, and this is why sometimes there is this strong immunity in the Bitcoin space against people that you in the past trusted and you cannot trust anymore, because in some way you feel betrayed because you trusted them. it's very important. I find myself refusing interesting jobs and proposals all the time. Not so many, but sometimes they are interesting. I would say because they are not completely aligned with my values, and I think it's not easy at all. It's not easy at all because. And I think at the same time it's important because if I say, okay, that person is going to do a great job for Bitcoin or that company or whatever is something I believe and I support, I want to be just like in a pure way, just from my estimation and both that product or that company or that person, I want to be free of anything else. And it's very difficult to understand from outside because every time I say, they don't get it immediately.
Yeah, of course, but it makes total sense. Like you want to be, it should be language or culture. So you feel integrity if you do something and you can sleep at night, it's still.
Yeah, it's more important.
It's way more important. You can really. Like yourself looking in the mirror instead of making hundreds of thousands or millions,
and also think about it, people are investing sometimes their savings, they are so the saving of a lifetime in some shitcoin or in a product that I don't completely have trusted or verified that it's working in so it's very important to remember that we are not accounts or general people, but there are real people behind with their story, their jobs, their savings, and everything. So I think it's, in the end, it's very important to remember that our personal story as humans.
For sure. What kind of proposals do you get? You want
to talk about? So one, it was I really love it, but I couldn't. It was just like being an anchor for, I can't say the company, but an anchor of news. But the point is, it's something I would definitely love to. Crypto news, that was the problem. Mm-hmm. I would definitely would love to do something like that for Bitcoin, but not for other shitcoins and altcoins. So I refuse to do that. It was well paid. It was just something I would have loved, but I have to refuse it.
And was it traditional, kind of a traditional news site that introduces a crypto format?
No, it was just like traditional one, just like every week telling. I was also selecting the best news, but of course they wanted some altcoins too, and it wasn't aligned with myself, so I had to say no. And another one very interesting recently, it was from a company, I can say more, for a communication and marketing position. I have a degree in communication, but personally, I don't like marketing so much. I know the majority of people think they both are very linked and almost the same thing, but I see a very strong hiatus between those two. And I'm not very cool and comfortable with Bitcoin marketing. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. At the same time, because I think that Bitcoin doesn't need that much marketing. But I love that many companies are doing a great job in marketing, but an ethical marketing. They are spreading the word about Bitcoin and also about their products. So there are not so many, but the ones that I see, I really enjoy them. And I try with some clients in the past as a consultant to do something like that, but usually in the end they only want to shitcoin. So those are only the last two I refused.
they're interesting. I mean, especially the news anchor one, I would definitely see you there.
That was just perfect for me.
You know, you could argue that obviously you don't want to talk about shitcoins and stuff, but you could argue it's an objective news. There are news in shitcoin space. I mean, it's probably interesting news if, I don't know, this Solana shitcoin goes up 100,000%. This is just objective news. I mean, it's not.
You're right.
And then,
this is why it took me some weeks to really consider the offer. But in the end, I think that I couldn't be that objective. The point was just me. I would have done so many faces and things just like that. So I couldn't be a good anchor, a good objective anchor. I'm Italian. I'm a Bitcoiner. I wouldn't do a good job with that.
you would just be ironic whenever something.
Just like all the time faces with Ethereum or whatever. Oh my god, Solana. No. I cannot even imagine doing something like that without being sarcastic or whatever. So commenting. Just like commenting with the eyebrow. Something like that.
that would be amazing. So why do you think communication and also marketing is still so hard for Bitcoin companies? Because I feel like shitcoin projects are way better in communication.
They are definitely better because they're using the typical strategies for their targets, but Bitcoiners are not the typical target. They are different type of people, and one of the characteristics is just they don't like marketing. They don't like to be pushed. They don't like to repetition. They don't like fake and some way polished contents. They don't like to not verify by themselves. So there are plenty of reasons they are so different that you have to find the different ways, and you have to be in harmony with this community. You can't imagine, and I'm seeing that all the time from people that are applying the strategy that work outside Bitcoin are going to work for Bitcoiners. They are not going to work. They are going to produce. It's better to do no marketing than do a bad marketing with Bitcoiners, in my opinion. So I strongly believe that Bitcoin is changing. It's changing a lot of fields, a lot of domains, a lot of ways of doing stuff. And I strongly believe that Bitcoin is changing also marketing forever. Mm-hmm. We are going to experience and see a more ethical and completely different way of doing marketing. And marketing will be more just like present something on the market. It will be more just like reaching people and telling them about what's your proposal. There's nothing wrong in marketing, mm-hmm. but in marketing nowadays is very manipulative. Even if they say we are not manipulative anymore, in the past we were manipulative, now we take care of the environment, we take care of human rights or whatever. No, it's even more manipulative for this, because they are anchoring their values and their products in a very, very not clear ways. Mm-hmm. But with Bitcoin, even with that, I think marketing will be more just like in the region because of Bitcoin. It will be very interesting to see. And already I'm seeing that. And all the time when I tell people, you should do this, you should do that, if you have a Bitcoin company, usually they think they're not going to do that because it's not great, because there's nothing like that in the books. There's nothing like that in the courses, marketing courses. But that is going to work with Bitcoin because it's in harmony with the target.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's different. It's a different breed, the people who are into Bitcoin now. But the thing is, the people who are into Bitcoin now, if they also want to talk about people who are not into Bitcoin yet, then they basically speak different languages.
I mean, even if you are not a Bitcoiner, you have to accept the existence of Bitcoiners. And even if you don't like the idea of a Bitcoin community, there are some characteristics that are typical of Bitcoiners. I mean, of course, Bitcoin is very different and has a different meaning for people. But as a community, there is a community, even only for some consideration and strategical thinking. If you have a company, you have to consider that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think there's no Bitcoin service who can ever be successful that is not talking to the community. That is not talking to the remnants, you know. Even though they might not be the target customers in the end, the target customer might be the low coiners or the Bitcoin beginners or whatever, the big masses, but it will never work if you don't have the remnants, if you don't have the hardcore fans, if you don't have the Bitcoin OGs within the boat. That's something I had to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. This is what I recommend usually too. You have to go through the thought leaders, the ones that are implementing their ideas, are implementing and changing and creating not only tools, but also discussion. They are sometimes creating memes. I strongly believe in the power of meme. A good meme can completely change your reaching for your company if it's something done in a correct way. But traditionally, meme is not, I mean, it's just a joke for marketing serious people. Oh my God, that is not true at all. Things are slowly changing, but of course, a meme in Bitcoin is different once again, because there is some ethics behind that. Mm-hmm. So you want to show that that it's funny, but at the same time, it's ethical content too. So not easy at all.
not easy. Huh. One last question I wanted to ask you. You don't have to answer if you don't want to, but I try to get this information out of every guest. Is what percentage of your total wealth lies in Bitcoin?
Oh, well, I don't have any Bitcoins, of course. But if I would recommend to someone, is probably the most percentage you can afford to have in Bitcoin, reminding yourself that you still need a lot of I mean, a lot of liquidity for everyday purchases. We are not ready yet. So calculate, all consider the fact that we are not still there. So you need some liquidity in fiat, or at least a service or provider that can give you a very, very, very fast convertibility through Bitcoin and fiat. So yes, we are at this point.
Whatever you can set aside that you don't need maybe in the next 6 to 12 months or so.
Yeah.
Saving the money that you can assign to savings.
It's not a lot. I would recommend to someone personally, just like, no, I'm not joking, I'm not great with finance. It's the part that I like less about Bitcoin. I don't know why. I'm not interested. There are things, in my opinion, more interesting than finance, but who cares? But at the same time, it's just common sense to me, because there are plenty of Bitcoiners there, especially nowadays. There, I'm a full Bitcoiner, I'm going to put everything in Bitcoin. But at the same time, you have to consider that you're still living in the society. And of course, it's not a great idea in the end not to have something. And you have to differentiate between, of course, a savings and some liquidity, and think about everything. I don't know about any good strategies, but it will take some months, probably, and sometimes years, to understand what's your best strategy for your family or for yourself with Bitcoin. And still, the price is so volatile. Be sure to afford to buy in some Bitcoins. Even if StackSaxe is great, but of course, but yeah.
Don't invest more than you can lose and blah, blah, blah. But like I hear there's a good strategy, which is very simple, and you can automate it with Relay. It's called DCA. Yeah.
I think DCA is very, very effective. Also, because people tend to forget, even if they choose to just, go into Bitcoin with that percentage every month, but you're going to forget because life is so hectic and whatever. So doing something automatically, especially for people very distracted, just like Giacomo, for example. I'm not that kind of person. I'm more organized. And it would be definitely effective and definitely, because you don't want to,
And you also don't want to sit down every week, log in somewhere and do manual stuff. I mean, you have better things to do in your life than
that's correct. That's totally correct. Except for maybe you're doing that manually, and in that way you are reconsidering your life, you're meditating about Bitcoin or whatever. I would probably, those weird people are not that the majority of people. The majority of people just want to just the stack automatically. So I think it's a great service.
And it can also be a ritual just to check coming in every week.
That's cool. That's cool. I love to check just because you feel better. Yeah, stack some more. That's cool. It's really cool. Also consider that Relay is also doing that for Europeans, I would say European countries, which is great to consider that all the best services are not.
A lot of good services in Europe, in the US, like Swan, for example. Not so much in Europe so far, but there are more coming. So it's the competition is definitely on. It's not even the competition; it's just like the dynamic.
And that's cool. Is great,
the more companies are coming, that also means, more people having the access, the possibility to get into Bitcoin.
No, it's absolutely very healthy to know there is some competition coming and growing, and everybody is going to benefit from it actually in the end. So I'm very happy about that. But at the moment, there's the majority of cool stuffs are just in the USA for USA citizens. So
exactly. That's it. we're on a mission to change that.
I really, really appreciate that. That's very important, because we really need the services just like Relay. I'm not selling this because I'm not on your podcast, but I was also telling you off records that I really appreciate your way of communication through social media. And it was just an example of people doing a good job in marketing their services for Bitcoiners. And then you're going to pay me with a very giant percentage, of course, because I'm telling all the people that, right?
True, right? You're not even an investor. You're not supposed to. Like Giacomo is an investor, but you're not. So you're not.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I want my part too, because of course of this.
I'll send you some relay stuff.
No, actually, many people, they don't understand it. Giacomo and I are very different persons. So many times we have different opinions, and also we differentiate our investment or whatever. And so I usually trust him more than other people, of course, because of the reason we were talking about trust. Of course, my link with Giacomo is kind of strong. But at the same time, I'm kind of person I love to verify it so much by myself and to have if possible, a completely different position from Giacomo. Mm-hmm. It happened in the past. It's happening every day. For example, I was a US Alpha supporter, I would say weeks before Giacomo. So Giacomo became US Alpha supporter after me, for example. And in the meanwhile, we discussed it a lot. So this is something many people probably don't know, but yeah.
Right. Huh, exciting.
And of course, I was right. Of course, I was right. He was right too, but it came later. And of course, his argumentation were stronger and clearer than mine. But instinctually, I was very kind to US Alpha war battles very, very early.
Interesting. Wow. That's very nice behind the scene information to end the podcast. Thank you very much, Mira. I don't want to
thank you for having me.
It was amazing. It was so good to hear. I'm sure our community will love it. We'll push this out on every channel we can. And hope to see you soon. Maybe when you and Giacomo visit Switzerland again, let me know and we can meet up.
Absolutely. Waiting for the check, of course, for your permission.
Okay. We'll make sure to send it to you. Okay.
Ciao.
Thank you.
Ciao.